This week's Sedra is, of course, Parshas Bereishis, the first in the Torah. And on the second day of creation, we find God making a separation between the upper waters and the lower waters. Mayim Alyonim, Mayim Tachtonim. And as a side, it's not the main point we're going to discuss today, but Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld made an interesting observation. It says, the Gemara says, Midrash, that we find on the second day of creation, there's no mention of Ki Tov, like we find by the other days, that Hashem said that it was good. So he explains why. The Gemara says that the reason why this doesn't say Ki Tov on the second day is because there was a separation. And since it was the first time Machlokes is mentioned in the Torah, therefore Hashem didn't want to say Ki Tov, because Machlokes is not a good thing. So Yosef Chaim asked the Kasha, he says, that's very nice, but what about the first day? We find a similar type of Lashon, that Hashem says, V'yavdel Elokim beina oru veina choshech. We find also there Hashem made a separation between the light and the darkness, and yet there is Esei Kito. So he says, there's an important difference here. By or and choshech, he says, or and choshech are two opposites. Right? Or represents, of course, light in itself, and goodness, and tzaddikim. Whereas Choshech represents darkness, represents the Rishayim in this world. So since there's a distinct difference between the two, there, Machloikis is something positive. It's important to have a differentiation between Tzadikim and Rishayim. You shouldn't treat them as one. There has to be the separation. And therefore, the Machloikis there is Kitov, is good, since we're talking about Oren Choshech. Whereas on the second day, what is being separated? The Mayim. Mayim, the Mayim Alyoni, Mayim Tachon, it's all Mayim. When the thing both are the same, then Machloikas is no good. Right? If we're all good, and we're arguing with each other, so that's Machloikas, that is negative. And therefore, that's the first negative Machloikas mentioned in the Torah. That's why it didn't say Kitov. It's an interesting Midrash, though, that tells us that when, in fact, the Kadosh Baruch Hu made the separation between the waters. The lower waters that were made to be here on earth complained. They put in a complaint to Kodesh Baruch Hu. They said, it's not fair. Why do we have to be down here where our fellow waters are up there in Shemayim, the upper waters next to God? They have this kirva to Kodesh Baruch Hu, and we have to suffer and be down here on the earth. It's not fair. Why do we have to be down here? So Kodesh Baruch Hu heard their complaint, their taina, and he wanted to give them a compensation, saying in Hebrew, a pitzui, lefatzototam, give them a compensation. So he says, you're right, so I'll compensate you though. What's their compensation? I'll give you Nisuch HaMayim, the mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim, which is, of course, on Chag HaSukkos, where 3 lug of water are poured on the Mizbeach. Shem says, water, we're going to take some of you, water, mayim atachtonim, we're going to take some of you and pour it on the Mizbeach, mitzvah of Nisuch HaMayim on Chag HaSukkos. And so you have your compensation. So the Midrash continues, the Mayim were not happy with that, and therefore they wanted more. Hashem said, fine, I'll kor kavancha takrit melech, that since salt comes from water, they're going to, all the korbanos are going to be salted, and that was their compensation. The Bar Yosef had an interesting, perhaps simple question, and that is, what kind of a compensation is that? What kind of compensation? Here we're talking about all the waters of the world. Now, most of the world is water. Okay, so that's a lot of water we're talking about. And they complained, they didn't want to be down here. So Hashem says, fine, I'll give you a compensation. Now, what was their compensation? Nisuch HaMayim. Let's make a chesed, he says. When was Nisuch HaMayim? A time of Brios HaOlam? No. It was only when there was a Beis HaMikdash. So when was a Beis HaMikdash? Well, first of all, the first Beis HaMikdash was Mekech Cheshbon, from the creation of the world to Matan Torah. There was how many years? 2,448. Plus another 480 years from Matan Torah until the Binyan Beis HaMikdash. So if you add the two together, the first Beis HaMikdash was 2,928 years after the Bria, after creation. That's almost 3,000 years. Okay? And then, what is Nisuch HaMayim? We take 3 lug. How much is 3 lug? It's a little less than about 2 liters of water. Not a lot of water. And when is it poured on the Mizbeach? Once a year, Sukkot time. What kind of a compensation is that? For all the waters of the world, right, which we said is made up of most of the world, what is their compensation? Less than 2 liters are going to be poured on these behalf. When? After about 3,000 years from now. That's a compensation. What kind of a compensation is that? Ah, says the Bir Yosef, we see from here a big Yosef. And that is, we see here the value of a mitzvah. How chashuv one mitzvah is. Mitzvah nisach hamayim is a mitzvah. Right? So we think, oh, that's a compensation. Yes. And of course, Baruch Hu's eyes, that was a compensation. For all the waters of the world to wait 3,000 years just for 2 liters of water to be poured on Mizbeach, since it's a mitzvah, it's all kedai. It's all worthwhile. That's the value of just one mitzvah. Fortunately, we don't, take into account. We don't value our mitzvahs like diamonds and as valuable as they are. So we think, oh, what kind of a compensation is that? But in fact, it's a very great compensation. Story is told of one of the Chassidim of the Slonimer Rebbe. He was an older man, and he came to the Rebbe, Slonimer Rebbe, with a complaint. He said, Rebbe, my life's not a life. He says, what's wrong? He says, what's wrong, Rebbe? Look at me. He says, I'm blind. I'm hard of hearing. And this problem, that problem, I was full of yisuri. He says, well, what kind of a life is this? So the Slonimer asked him, he said, let me ask you a question. He says, this morning, did you put on tefillin? So the chassid said, what kind of question? Of course I put on tefillin this morning. And Bezrat Hashem, maybe you should live until tomorrow. Are you going to put on tefillin tomorrow as well? He says, sure, Rebbe, why not? So he says, Dalachai, he said, you should know. With living a life of 80 years, I'm full of yisurin, would all be kedai for just that one time of putting on tefillin tomorrow. Same idea, right? We don't realize, oh, yeah, I put on tefillin this morning. We don't realize what it means to put on tefillin in just one day. A whole life of 80 years full of it is all worth it just for one day of tefillin. And of course, this chassid did a lot more than putting on just 1 day's of tefillin. Interesting, Shaila, I saw brought to Rav Zilberstein, Shlita. It's found in the Sefer Chashukei Chemed and Sukkot. That there was a fellow who had a son, Reuven, we'll call him, and his came up, his bar mitzvah was coming up, so he bought him, the son, a very nice, fancy, expensive pair of tefillin for his son. So, what happened? Unfortunately, his son was not exactly on the right path, and mechabit his father, he put his tefillin on the bar mitzvah day. But after that, unfortunately, the tefillin remained in his bag and in his drawer. He never put on his tefillin again. Okay. A little while later, a year or two, three, whatever later, his next son, Shimon, became bar mitzvah. So he went out again, bought him a very fancy, expensive pair of tefillin with all the hidurim, and Shimon put it on his bar mitzvah day. But, Lolenu, unfortunately, Shimon was not also on any great level, and he also put his tefillin in his drawer. And that was the end of that. So then came Levi, his third son. So now he came with the Shaila. He asked, what should I do? He says, unfortunately, I see Levi is following in his brother's footsteps. And so what can I expect? I mean, Reuben and Shimon, they just put their tefillin on once and put it in their drawer. So what's going to be with Levi? Probably the same thing, unfortunately. So my question is, should I go out and buy him a very expensive pair of tefillin, like I did Reuven and Shimon, you know, his brothers, just to have him put it on once and stick in the drawer? Or perhaps I should buy tefillin for half the price, okay? Which are still, of course, kosher and mahudr, but not, you know, on the same level. And with the other half of the money, not just to, you know, save the other half, but to take the other half of the money, buy another, you know, average pair, and give it to some poor yasum or whatever, orphan that doesn't have money for tefillin. You know, give it as a gettaka, second pair. So that's my Shaila. So it's very interesting. He said he brought the Shaila to one of the Gedolei Yisrael, and his answer was perhaps surprising, but exactly what we were saying before. He said, you should go and buy this expensive pair of tefillin for a Levi also. He's only going to put it on once. He says, kedai. It's worthwhile. Even if he's only going to put on these tefillin, it's worth it. It's worth it for that one time of putting on tefillin. It's worth it to have that beautiful, expensive mahudra declare. So for that one time, it's worth it. He added, as a side, and who knows, he said, maybe in schus of that, and he put on that tefillin, those expensive pair of tefillin, that maybe someday it's going to give him that, you know, mitzvah, gerer's mitzvah, and it's going to cause him to put on tefillin regularly one day, because he did, you know, put on the tefillin, those tefillin, but even so, besides that, he said, just, it's all kedai just for that one time. I'd like to share with you couple of stories, also in the inyan of the chashivas of even one mitzvah. First story is about a yid, his name is Rav Mendel Peshitek. He was also a chassid gur, and he was a survivor of the Holocaust. Okay, he went through from one camp to another camp, Amish, terrible, terrible suffering throughout the whole war, but he made it through alive. So when he, at the completion of the war, he was very ill, and he was in a sanitarium in a place called Minken, which is just outside of Germany. Just outside Germany. So he was, in Germany. And recuperating from his sicknesses. And along with many, many other unfortunate souls. So one day, who comes into the building? None other than the famous Kloisenberger Rebbe. And he came to all the Yidden, and he to mechazik them, and Amunah, etc. And he brought with him, a set of tzitzis, just the strings for tzitzis, you know, to make tzitzis with. And he said, I have just one pair of, tzitzis over here, one set of strings, and I'd like to give it to somebody, you know, to have, you know, the mitzvah. They haven't done this mitzvah in years, you know, during the Holocaust. And so all the Yidden were excited, no opportunity finally to do the mitzvah tzitzis. So, but who's going to get the set of tzitzis? So, you have to be fair. So the Rebbe said, we'll make a goral, a lottery. And I'll draw lots. And the one whose name gets picked, he'll get the set of strings. Fine. Fair is fair. And they got ready to do the lottery. Reb Mendel was there. He had such a burning desire for this mitzvah. What did he do? He took his only shirt that he had. What did he have after the war? Nothing. Just a shirt on his back, literally. He took the only shirt he had. He ripped it up, both the sides of the shirt, to make it into a four-cornered garment. And then he approached the Rebbe. He says, Rebbe, you have to give me the tzitzis. He says, why? He says, look, I ripped up my shirt. Now I have four corners. Now I have a chiyuv min a Torah. I must wear tzitzis. I have a four-corner garment I'm wearing. I have to have tzitzis. I have a chiyuv. So you have to give me the string. So the Rebbe saw that. He was awestruck. He says, here's a guy. What he went through, the Holocaust. And all he has is that one shirt on his back. And that one shirt, he rips just in order to have the mitzvah tzitzis. Anyways, the end of the story goes, the Rebbe, we didn't know what to do. I mean, on the one hand, he has a point there. You know, he did, he is Mechayev Midoraisa with the mitzvah tzitzis. But on the other hand, it's not fair. He did promise he was going to draw lots. So, what happened? He said to Reb Mendel, the Rebbe said to Reb Mendel, listen, he says, after thinking about it, I decided I have to draw lots. I must. I mean, I promised everybody it's not fair. Okay? But, if you, in fact, did what you did, L'shem Shemai, which I assume you did, because you really want to be Zochin the Mitzvah Tzitzis, so don't worry, you'll see, the Mistama, you're going to win the lottery. And he put in all the lots, which were hundreds of Yidden there. Meshadah picked the name, who was it? Reb Mendel. That's what the Rebbe said. So we see here again the somebody who values one mitzvah tzitzis. One last story I'd like to share is there's the Bubov Rebbe, Rav Shlomo Mibubov. He once purchased a shas, and he paid a lot of money for this shas. Why? It belonged to a Rav, his name was Rav Berish, and who was the mechutin of the Pnei Yeshua. Now, of course, the shas in itself, you know, being, you know, from such a chash of a person, was worth a lot. But there was something very special about it. In one of the mesechtas, on the side, Reberish, who was the owner of the Shas originally, right, he didn't used to write. Many people write on the sides, in the margins of the Gemara, Perushim, Pshatim, whatever, on the sides. His Gemara was clean, the Shas, except for one place. This one place, next to a Tosfos, okay, Reberish wrote, you see in his handwriting, in the margin of the Gemara, next to the Tosfos, he writes a Pshat in that Tosfos, and then he writes, I heard this from the slain, from the man that was killed. He says, I heard this from the man that was killed. What's Pshat? So he continues, he writes this in the Gemara, and what's Pshat? So he says that the story goes back about 300 years prior in Poland. And there was a Reberish, who was the owner of this Shas originally. He was a Rav of a certain town. And in that town, there was a butcher. And this butcher was not such a great individual, to say the least. He was a man that did many, many averas, known as someone who didn't value Torah, etc. However, one very strange thing, which nobody ever really understood, is even though he didn't care about the Torah, didn't care about mitzvahs, you know, perhaps it goes in the category of a Rasha even. However, one mitzvah was dear to him. And that was the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim. Netilas Yadayim, to wash before eating bread. Nobody understood it. If he didn't care about anything else, why dafka Netilas Yadayim? No, didn't know. But that was this butcher. Anyways, what happened? Story goes that there's one Shavuos, just before Chag HaShavuos, the butcher, you know, was dealing with this meat, cutting it up for the people, and they found that the animal was treif. The mashkiach over there checked it out and saw that the animal happened to be treif, and the basar couldn't be distributed to the people. But, you know, small town, they wanted meat for Yontif, and what's going to be? No meat for Yontif. What kind of Yontif without meat? So they decided that they're going to go to a town, which is not too far away, travel there, and purchase meat, bring it back for the people. Okay. So who are they going to send? They're going to send the butcher, because, you know, he was a maven, he understood, you know, meat. And with him, the mashkiach, to take care, make sure the kashrus is okay. Right. So the two of them went off in their horse and buggy, and they're traveling to this other town to find the meat. So they're traveling, it was quite a journey. It wasn't too far, but in those days, you know, horse and buggy took quite a while. They were a couple of 2, 3, 4 hours right around the road. And this butcher, all of a sudden, says, I'm starving. So I got to eat. So the mashgiach said, didn't you bring some sandwiches? I thought you packed yourself some sandwiches for the way. He says, I did. He says, so eat. He says, I can't. I says, why not? He says, I don't have any water for the Netilas Yadayim. They ran out of water. So he said, no, why? He said, okay. He said, no. Netilas Yadayim is Netilas Yadayim. Anything else? No, but I have to wash. So he says, okay, there's no water. What are you going to do? So he's getting all nervous, and he wants to eat. And so he stops the horse and buggy, and he sees there's a forest on the side of the road. So he goes, I'm going into the forest to find some water. Mashkiach says, you can't do that. He says, why not? He says, look, it's almost sunset. It's going to get dark soon. And the forest is a very dangerous place, you know, especially when it gets dark. There's all kinds of bandits over there and wild animals and who knows what. And, you know, it's dangerous. You're putting yourself in a, you know, makom sakana. So he said, no, but I gotta do it until she dies. I have to. So he says, forget it. Look, we're not too far away from the town. Come there, you'll eat, whatever. He says, no, I want to eat now, and I got to do it until she dies. I'm going into the forest. Mashkiach couldn't stop him. Gets down, runs into the forest. Okay, he's waiting. No, not coming back. And then, all of a sudden, what he thought, he heard a screech, a scream, which sounded like the voice of the butcher. A shriek in the air, and that was the end of that. And the butcher never returned. So he figured, he was probably killed by some bandits or whatever. And now what? He says, okay, nothing, it's already dark. I'm just going to make my way to the next town, and that's that. So sure enough, he came into town. Most people were sleeping by then. But he told a few people that were awake what had happened. And they said, well, we can't go searching for him now, the body or whatever, because it's late. We'll have to wait till tomorrow morning. Fine. So, next morning, they sent out a search party from the town. It was now Erev Shavuos. And they're looking in the forest. Sure enough, they found the body. It was dead. And they took the body back to the town. And just before Yom Tov, they made a levaya, and they buried the butcher there in the town, that town. So now the Mashgiach looked at his watch. He said, well, it's too late for me to go home now, you know, back to my family for Yom Tov. It's almost Yom Tov. I'll never make it back in time. So he says, okay, I'll just have to stay here for Yom Tov, make my Yom Tov here, and go back home after Yom Tov. So that's what he did. Okay, meantime, now we're at Leil Shavuos, right, that evening, and back to the original town where Berish was the Rav of the town. So it's Leil Shavuos, what do? Learn Torah. So Berish was learning Torah, and he came across this Tosus that we were speaking about. He came across this Tosus. It's very difficult. He's working on it. He can't figure it out. Big cash on this Tosus. So as he's learning this Tosus, all of a sudden, who comes in next to him, walks next to him? The butcher. So he looks at sees the butcher. Now, he didn't know what had gone on, right? Because the Mashgiach never made it on his way back, and they didn't have cell phones and things, right? So they didn't know. And he figured the butcher came back before Yom Tov, like was expected. He didn't know that he was killed. And here the butcher is standing in front of him, this man who was killed. And he just, you know, the Rav says, hey, what do you want? You know, because he wasn't so, you know, didn't like the butcher so much. And the butcher says, Rav, I came, I have to ask you a question, Shiloh. So the Rav said, listen, I'm working on this difficult Tosfos right now. You know, not now. You know, come back later. I'm busy, okay? So the butcher said, no, you don't understand, Rabbi. He says, I've come from the Beis Din Shel Mala. I've come from the Beis Din Shel Mala, and I have to ask you a question. So Rav Berish looks at him. You come from where? Beis Din Shel Mala? What are you talking about? He says, yeah, I promise you. I was killed, and I came from the Beis Din Shel Mala. He says, oh, come on, you're pulling my leg. So he says, no. So he says, he saw that it was, you know, he was speaking from the heart. You know, he didn't look like he was lying, but he couldn't believe it. So he says, okay, let me give you a test. Okay? I'm working on this Tosus for the last couple hours here. I can't make any heads or tails of this Tosus. I'd be cautious. Okay? Go back where you came from. Find out pshat in this Tosus. And then come back and tell me the pshat. And then if you tell me the pshat, then I'll see that you're on the up and up. You're telling me the truth. So he goes, wonderful. So he goes, comes back a few minutes later, and he says, okay, Rabbi, here's pshat and Tosfos. Tells him, and Rabbeinu is astonished. He goes, wow, that's a beautiful pshat and Tosfos. Unbelievable. I never thought of that. It's wonderful. So he says, okay, now I believe that you came from the base of Shamala. So now what's your Shiloh? So he says, okay, I'll tell you. He says, I came to the base of Shamala. And at first, things looked quite smooth. You know, that they're going to give me a good din. Because I died, Al Kiddush Hashem. Right? I died because I was Isaac in the mitzvah and Atilas Kedayim. I went to the forest to get water, you know, steadfast. And because I was Moser Nefesh for that mitzvah, so it was like dying Al Kiddush Hashem. So you're going to put me in, you know, the mechitza of those that are died al Kiddush Hashem. Ha, wonderful. However, the Mekatrigim came in, you know, the accusers, and they said, oh, nothing doing. Why should he get such a good portion? He didn't have to do that. He could have just, you know, didn't have to put himself in this makom sakana, go into the forest like that. He could have just, you know, not eaten. Okay, so he's hungry. So wait until he gets to the next town and finish. He didn't have to do what he did. That was their claim. Anyway, the Beis Din Shel Mala heard, and their decision was, they told me that I should go down here to you, Rabbi, and whatever you decide goes. What your psak is, that's what they're going to accept in the Beis Din Shel Mala. So Rabbi Berish heard this, and he says, very nice, no problem. If that's the case, I posek that you died al Kiddush Hashem for doing the mitzvah until Yadayim. As a result, you deserve to be put in the mechitza of those that died al-Kadosh Hashem. And so it was. And after Yom Tov, of course, Rav Berish wrote in his Gemara That's what he wrote, the Pshat in his Tosfos. He wrote it. He wrote, I heard this from the slain, and this butcher was killed. And then he writes the story, and all this is written in the margin of the Gemara, of the Shas, that the Bava Rebbe paid a lot of money for to acquire this Shas. So here, once again, this story shows the power of one mitzvah. Here's a mitzvah, a person most of the mitzvah, and as a result, he died al Kiddush Hashem, and he got this tremendous portion of Chaba because he vowed this mitzvah. So we have to do the same. We have to realize that the mitzvahs that we're given, each and every one of them, is worth tremendous, tremendous amounts. So more than all the money in the world. Any one mitzvah. And unfortunately, you know, the way things go, that what you have a lot of, you don't appreciate. You know, you have a lot of something, so you don't value it. So here, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Marbe, gave us so many Torah mitzvahs, and unfortunately, because we have so many, so it's so easy, so to speak, to do the mitzvahs, so we don't value them. We have to realize from our limud that we saw today that all the mitzvah chazer, each and every single one of them, we have to appreciate every time we do even one mitzvah and value it and realize that it'll bring us to greater, greater levels and levels that will bring us to Olam Haba as we await the coming of Mashiach Tzidkenu b'mehira b'yameinu. The end. No, I saw that Shiloh once. What? No, the thing.